AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump says he's agreed to debate terms with Democratic presidential nominee Kamala Harris. In a post on his Truth Social site, he said the rules will be the same as for the debate in June between him and President Biden. It's been hot and humid in the Midwest for days, and it's going to be that way in the Southeast and Mid-Atlantic tomorrow, says the Weather Channel meteorologist Jen Carfagno.
Look at 95 in Cleveland, 97 in Charleston tomorrow. These are the temperatures, not just the heat index, which will be even higher. Nashville heading to 100. St. Louis, we're heading to 100.
The Israeli military says it has rescued a 52-year-old hostage who'd been held by Hamas in southern Gaza. Reporter Linda Gradstein from Tel Aviv.
The Hamas members guarding him temporarily stepped away, maybe came up to the surface to get some air because it's really not possible to stay in the tunnels for that long. And Israeli special forces came in and took him out.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Join us live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. for Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Call in with your sports thoughts and feelings only on WFHR.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin is dealing with the hottest temperatures of the summer, with the heat index above 105 degrees in Milwaukee yesterday. Phil Beer was helping his son move into his dorm at UWM in the morning.
I just was imagining how much more exhausted everybody's going to be later in the day. I felt very fortunate to have it early on.
The National Weather Service has issued excessive heat warnings and advisories for much of Wisconsin throughout the day and into tonight. The Green Party will stay on November ballots in Wisconsin. The state Supreme Court yesterday rejected a request from the Democratic Party to remove Jill Stein for president. Democrats said the Green Party doesn't qualify to be on the ballot. The Wisconsin Elections Commission rejected the complaint, and Democrats appealed to the Supreme Court. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Alyssa Kay. Following our upcoming meetings in the listening area for Wednesday, August 28th. In Wood County, the public meeting for the Wisconsin Rapids Police and Fire Commission will take place at 7:30 a.m. The Wisconsin Rapids Housing Authority will hold its regular monthly meeting at 1:30. The Village of Port Edwards will have their Public Works Committee meeting at 10 a.m. The Public Safety meeting will begin at noon, and the Planning, Property, and Legislative Committee will meet at 5:30. The Town of Grand Rapids will hold a special town board meeting from 6 to 7. In Portage County, the Public Safety Emergency Management Committee will meet at 8 a.m., and the Housing Authority Board of Commissioners will meet at 4. There was a fire in an industrial cold storage facility on 21st Avenue last night in Wisconsin Rapids. The fire department found the fire was extinguished by the activation of 4 sprinkler heads. No one was injured, and the fire is believed to have been an accident. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
The Badgers ready for a new season. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. College football, the Badgers host Western Michigan on Friday night. Wisconsin finished with a disappointing 7-6 record last season. Head coach Luke Fickell.
And if I would say anything about last year, that's where I think after week 1 and 2, I did recognize one of our shortcomings was our ability to problem solve. As things changed within a game, as things changed from the start of a game, because, I felt like last year we were really good with the things we prepared for, but we were not nearly as good with the things that we hadn't prepared for and to be able to problem solve. And I think we'll get a great look at that in week 1.
NFL, the Packers have a new backup quarterback. They traded a 7th-round pick to the Titans for Malik Willis, who now has to learn a new playbook by next week.
Without preparation, you never feel comfortable. You never feel like you're able to go do your best. I just want to take every day like this my last and just learn as much as I can, retain that information, and go out there and try to do it the next day.
That's the Packers' new backup quarterback, Malik Willis, with sports on Mike Clemens.
Midday Magazine, talk radio that speaks with you, not at you. Join the conversation 4 to 5, Monday through Friday, as we discuss local issues, events, and more. We'll be here interviewing some of your favorite local people. And find the podcast at civicmedia.us. Midday Magazine, a dialogue like no other. Only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A slight shower chance this evening, otherwise mostly cloudy and a low in the mid-60s. Patchy early fog, otherwise a mixture of sun and clouds and highs in the mid-70s for Wednesday. Another chance of showers and storms Thursday, high low 80s. It's 82 right now.
The Morning Show on WFHR. It's serious comedy.
Some researchers have explored the impact of melatonin-enriched milk on sleep because it comes from cows milked at night.
Ooh.
Night milk has been shown to improve symptoms of insomnia in some people.
Night milk. Yeah. We should try some night milk.
Night milk. Yeah.
I would love to actually talk to somebody who actually does this. If this is like a new avenue for milk growers.
How about
milk
that?
Producers, I should say.
Yep.
Milk doesn't grow on trees. I learned that when I was 20.
Weekdays from 8 to 10 on Locally Grown Radio.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow. Wednesday morning, a woman who spoke at the Democratic convention talks about the progress finally being made to remove lead water pipes in Wisconsin.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. This is Locally Grown Radio, WFHR.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Tuesday, August 27th, 2024. I have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At 4:30, we're going to welcome in our friend Nia. She is with the Wisconsin Rapids Family Center. Looking forward to catching up with her. Right now, we're looking forward to hanging out with some of our good friends from the Wisconsin Hart Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce. We have with us Lacey Ayling, Events and Engagement Director. Lacey, always good to see you.
Good to see you, James.
Thanks for being here. And you want to introduce our new friend.
Yes, absolutely. So, obviously, good afternoon, everyone, and definitely excited to welcome Promise Bakken, our Marketing and Communication Director. So she's going to be sharing some wonderful upcoming events and programs that we have going on this month, and then a little bit out past October. So I'll hand it over to Promise.
Hey, Promise, how you doing?
Good. Thanks, Lacey, for the introduction. I'm excited to be here.
Very excited to be talking with you, have you in. Appreciate the time from both of you, and appreciate everything you guys are doing in this community. Promise, let's dive right into Lunch by the River.
Okay, so Lunch by the River this week is this our last Thursday of the season. It is down by the Veterans Memorial Park. We are going to be having food vendors there, Chatterbox, Rocky Rococo's, MCG Services, and Jamaican Kitchens. Our presenting sponsors this week is Septic and Enbridge, and then our day sponsor is Our House Senior Living, Billerud, Mariani Packing Company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one.
And then we're also going to be having the balloon twisting lady down there, too. The kids really love her, so if you have any kids, get in down there and see the balloon twisting lady. She makes some really great balloons. Mm. And then the Southwood County Humane Society, they'll be bringing down pets. Did they bring down pets last Thursday, too?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, and therapy dogs. So they have a Ziva, a therapy dog they bring down.
Awesome. It's awesome. Such a great combination of you guys and the Humane Society working together and everything. This is what our area is all about, our nonprofits working together and bringing each other up. A high tide raises all boats. That's very, very cool to hear. If people want to reach out, if they have any interest in entertaining or vending as far as for next year, Promise, can they do that?
Yep, they can go to our website at WisconsinRapidsChamber.com or reach out directly to Lacey Elling at communications@WisconsinRapidsChamber.com.
Okay, now I'm going to throw a curve at you, though. What if you're looking for specific information on upcoming community and workforce and advocacy events and stuff like that?
I would highly suggest visiting our website. We have all of our information on our website that for workforce programs or community events or even our annual meeting that's coming up soon, too, in March the 25.
I couldn't stump her, Lacey. I tried. I tried to stump her on that one. I couldn't stump her. Nicely done. Nicely done. I do want to bring you in for a second, Lacey, just because I did want to touch on Lunch by the River for the 2024 season. Congrats. congrats. I've heard such good things from the community about the event this year, especially with the way you guys handled the weather and different events that, you know, you curveballs that you guys were throwing and everything. Really heard good things about Lunch by the River this year, and a lot of people excited about next year. I feel like you're going to be getting some calls on that one. That's a really good sign and feels really good, especially for an event that's been around for a while. You know, it's cool to see.
Absolutely. I think we're next year, will be the 38th year that we've been doing it. So hopefully I can get some of the crazy, more out of the box stuff down there. So very excited.
Lacey, constantly working for those fun, crazy ideas. I love that. Promise the 24th annual Downtown Grand Affair coming right up.
Yes. So the annual Downtown Grand Affair this year is going to be held on Sunday, September 8th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. We're going to be right downtown on West Grand Avenue. We'll be filled with craft and food vendors. And we also have the Creeper Car Show and Cruise down there for this vendor fair as well. The sponsors for this one is Crockett Septic, Paper City Savings, U.S. Bank, Urkel Worldwide. And we have a few vending spaces available. We've got a lot of food vendors down there this year. So if you're looking for, you know, a fun time with lots of food, I would highly recommend going down there that day. And you can get started on your Christmas shopping because that's right around the corner, too. So
really good stuff. Very good information, yeah. And a very good point there, Promise. Yeah. And you know, it just hits me sometimes with these events. I'm so used to the Downtown Grand Affair, and I didn't realize 24th. That is awesome. That is really impressive. That is very cool to hear. And certainly for all the cool things you mentioned there that we enjoy, but another opportunity for our vendors, another opportunity for our local businesses and small businesses to be able to, you know, sell their goods and reach out to people. And man, such a great point. I really appreciate the reminder about the Christmas gifts. My mom, this is the only kind of thing she'll accept, is these kind of items. So that was a nice reminder. I appreciate that. The 24th annual Downtown Grand Affair coming right up, everybody. Be sure to mark your calendars for Sunday, September 8th. And again, registration forms are online at you can reach out to the chamber at communications@wisconsinrapidschamber.com. We've got some upcoming workforce programs, Promise, that we wanted to dive into and talk a little bit about. What can you tell us about those in registration?
So we do have, registration is now open for our ACE leadership program. So this is our community leadership program that we had last year. We rebranded it and gave it a new name, and we also added an accreditation. So this year's participants who complete the course for 2024-2025 will be accredited one college credit in a leadership course that they can take to Mid-State. So it's one college credit. That has some, so ACE stands for Advancing Community and Education, where we get some of our, if you have an employee who you think could benefit a little bit of brushing up on leadership skills, or if you're thinking about promoting them into a leadership position, this is a really great program for that employee. It's about an 8-month journey. They meet once a month and they cover different topics that also, you know, anything from like workforce to manufacturing, mm-hmm. and you know, that kind of teaches them all the different industries we have in Wisconsin Rapids and allows them to, you know, grow some leadership skills with some projects that they do throughout the course. So if you have somebody in your business or company that you think would be, you know, good at, you know, leading a project in the future, I would highly recommend getting them, you know, enrolled in participating this year. You can reach out to Laura Bonner Ridgeway at workforce@wisconsinrapidschamber.com, or you can always, you know, visit our website or give us a call at 715-423-1830 for that one.
Cannot encourage the people in the community, businesses out there, to reach out to the chamber to get your employees signed up for this one. I love the note about it. The age doesn't matter. You know, there is nobody who couldn't be benefited by this program. Right. The greatest of leaders realize that they can always get better. And so even those individuals would be benefited by a program like this. Because of so many things that I've learned from you, Lacey, and others that have taken this program over the years, not only does it help you enhance your leadership skills, maybe fine-tune some of those skills you have, or modernize even a little bit in learning some new skills and the ways to work with new younger employees and stuff. There's a lot of layers to that. But the communication part of this, the idea of the running into people in other industries that you might not run into otherwise, I think that is one of the biggest selling points about this program, is being able to have that offered to the community and giving you a one-stop shop, if you will, of, hey, you want to meet somebody in an industry completely different than yours? Here you go. Like, that's a great idea, great program for that. And then you put on top of all that the idea of getting credits from Midstate for it, which I just find, again, one of these awesome partnerships the Chamber has created that really enhances our community.
Yeah, definitely. I was part of the leadership program, was it 2 years ago? And I still am connected to my group of peers that I had. So it kind of gives you those people that are out in the community with, you know, in the different industries that, you know, you can reach out to them later on and like, hey, I need help with this. And Lacey, she was in it, what, last year?
Yep.
I've been doing this about 7-8 years, and I've been talking with Chamber members since then and other individuals in the community. And I know it's going to sound like a bill of goods here, but I cannot stress this enough. I can take a lie detector test and tell you I've never heard anybody say anything negative about this program. I can't think of many things that I can say that about. I've never heard anything but positive things about this program and how much it enhances an individual, and how much everybody that comes out of it, all they want to do is talk about the other people they are in it with and highlight them and promote them. Yeah. So even on the marketing end of this and the PR end of this, I would think that any business would be benefited by being a part of this, let alone what it can do for your employees and the way it enhances the community. It's a really unique and a wonderful program.
Yes.
Promise, would you mind one more time telling the audience of how they can contact Laura if they want to reach out and find out more about this program?
Sure. You can email her at workforce@wisconsinrapidschamber.com or give her a call at 715-423-1830. And then you can always visit our website, too, if you just want to register somebody right away.
See, now that was a little bit of a knuckleball. You knocked that one out, too. Nicely done. Nicely done. We are speaking with Lacey and Promise from our Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce, going over some local events and different workforce programs going on. And the Cool Teen Leadership Program. I'm dying to talk about this one. This is a cool one, Promise.
Yeah, so our Cool Teen Leadership Program, so we kind of rebranded this one a little bit last year as well. So the cool part of it stands for Community Occupations, Organizations, and Leadership Skills. The reason for that is those are the, you know, the pillars that we try to focus on for our teens to learn and grow from. So it's a measure of the students' leadership skills that are, you know, most valued by employers or the community and organizations in our area. And we tend to find that students who enter into this program are already kind of like on the path of, you know, going to a higher education once they, you know, end high school. And it's just a great program to put on their resume and develop more while they're still at home. It also offers them the opportunity to go out and explore the industries that are in our area. So then that way, when they do go off to college, they can come back and, you know, use their skills in our area that they've learned. So that's the hope behind that. But besides that, it's really important for us to grow and develop our youth in the area so that we do have a strong future for the community.
Yeah, this is a unique way of investing in the future, of enhancing our future, making it stronger. A very cool way of doing that, if you will. I'm a dad. I can make that joke. I can do that. No, actually, it's a really a good name for the program. I love the acronym. I love it. It's a very cool one. And you hit it on the head, Promise. I mean, this is a way of not only enhancing our future and making it better, but showing, putting some confidence into the youth and giving them some ideas, some avenues to look into. And you just never know what might spark in them from something like this and create a passion and help them find their new career instead of maybe a job. It's a really unique program.
And Lacey, isn't you one of your...
Yes. My oldest is in it, is going to be in it this year, and she's very set on a specific career. So I really like that aspect of it as well, because then before they go down that path and they change their mind and change their mind because they're kids and they're young and who doesn't change their mind at least one time a day. At least then she has more of a well-rounded, you know, information about that. And she's not just, okay, I know what I want to do. I'm certain on that. I don't have a backup plan. There's no plan B. Mm-hmm. And at least if she goes into that and she sees, yeah, I really don't want to do that. Or I really don't want to work with, you know, hurt people. At least then she knows that too. So it's not only, you know, trying to tell them what they should do or show them. And maybe it's always, you know, also giving them like other support and okay, it's okay if you've been saying you want to do this for 10 years and now all of a sudden you don't.
Yeah, it took me into my late 20s to realize, I would rather be a surviving artist than a struggling artist. Yeah. You know, have a day job, yeah. James. You're not going to make it as an actor coming out the gate. You know, it's important in life. And no matter what position or what job you're going into, it is always good to have that backup, that security, along with all the other things we were mentioning there. That's a really good point. And good on her for doing that, Lacey. That's cool. Coffee with the Chamber. We've been talking about this a bit on our morning shows. We're very excited about this one and then excited for the community, I promise. This is going to be a fun event.
Yep, so Coffee with the Chamber tomorrow. So the registration is full. We're just announcing a reminder that since it is fuller than what we had anticipated, we have moved it to City Hall. So that'll be in the council chambers at City Hall tomorrow from 8:30 to 9:30. And if you're registered, you'll be getting an email, you know, today reminding you.
Very cool to hear that it filled up like that and everything. Mm-hmm. That's wonderful to hear. Really good news about that one. And you're welcome because we've been promoting. No, I'm joking. It's really cool to hear. Very congratulations on that one. There's going to be some great conversations that come of that. 2024 Business Expo is right around the corner. Oh, my goodness. I just realized that is right around the corner. That is incredible. That popped up quick.
Yeah. So our Business Expo, we're bringing it back this year. It's the first year, I think, in 3 or 4 years that we have had this event. So the Business Expo is an opportunity for businesses to network with one another. Working at the Chamber, we understand that our businesses in the area work with other local businesses in the area. And sometimes, you know, you may make those connections through some of our other events, but this is the event that you're really going to want to be at if you're looking to make a connection with so-and-so company in town. So we have some booth space open, so registration is open for that. But then we do open it to the public afterwards. So if you're not a registered booth there, you can definitely stop in there, drop your business cards off, network with the booths that are there, and mark your calendars for next year for our Business Expo. So it's happening on October 8th this year from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. And it's going to be at the Wisconsin Rapids Elk Lodge, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, another one of those events we always look forward to, and it's going to be a good one. If you want to get in on next year, it's a good time to reach out to the Chamber now and reserve that spot and get in on that. Because I know a lot of businesses that are itching to be able to do that and certainly be able to find great employees. It's a really great opportunity for the community and these businesses. You had some other notes that we were going to touch on before we let you go, promise.
So yes, September Member of the Month is Milkweed Market. Milkweed Market is a craft store where people of all abilities can put their, you know, sell their crafts in it. Some of their stuff is just really amazing. The artists that they have in there is just, you know, beautiful. So that's Milkweed Market.
Yeah, they're wonderful. A good shout out to the ODC and the great work that they're doing over there. And I mentioned earlier items from my mom for her birthday or Christmas. Milkweed Market. Like that's it. If I'm not going to the farmer's market or something like that to find those items, it's Milkweed Market every day. They are a go-to for me. They have saved my skin a number of times with my mother. It's a great place to go. Encourage people to check it out. And very cool to hear them as the September Member of the Month. That's very cool. And we did want to update people about something with the Chamber as well, promise.
So one last update here is our Chamber cash calendar is still available for sale. You can buy 3 tickets for $20 or 1 ticket for $10. I think we have approximately like 3 weeks of drawings with a little bit over, $2,000 of giveaways in Chamber gift certificate, so it's essentially cash. You just have to take the gift certificate to a local business and redeem it there. Sales will end on September 8th. Our first drawing is going to be at Downtown Grand Affair. So if you buy a ticket and you win, you put that ticket back in the drawing so that they can win again.
Very cool. Yeah. Very, very cool.
So just stop at the chamber to get your tickets, or you can always buy them at Lunch by the River this Thursday.
Yeah, make sure to show up this Thursday at Lunch by the River. Help us celebrate one more Lunch by the River for the year. Enjoy ourselves over at Veterans Memorial Park. I did want to mention one other thing before we let you guys go, and that's the encouraging businesses and people out there that have not done so already to become a chamber member. There are so many wonderful benefits that these amazing ladies could tell you more and more about in person, but I will tell you that I have heard from many local businesses, not just here, but... not for nothing, I did notice nobody mentioned my haircut. I'm joking. I bring it up because I was recently at Relax, Refresh, and Reconnect, and I was talking with Shyler, and just randomly kind of came up about the chamber and talking about it, and my gosh, how she raved about you guys. Aww. And how excited she was to talk about it. Yeah. Just talking about the chamber and everything, not even about how it benefited her. I had to ask her about that and everything. She talked so highly about being a chamber member, how beneficial that has been to her and her business, and help her build that business. I just want to shout out to you guys for that, and shout out to any local businesses out there. Be a part of things with the chamber. There are so many wonderful benefits for you and your business, and getting your name out there and promoting your business. This is what they do over there, and they're darn good at it, everybody. But there is also the added PR, I believe, of showing support to your community and being like, we're on the same team. Mm-hmm. We want to be a part of this team here in Rapids. Right. And that's something you do with your business when you are a chamber member. So find out more and reach out to our friends at the Wisconsin Rapids Chamber, wisconsinrapidschamber.com, to find out more about that. Ladies, if people do have follow-up questions about some of the things we've touched on and talked about today, what is the best way to reach you? I left that open for both of you.
Okay.
I just wanted you both to be able to answer. I apologize.
Yeah,
I apologize.
We're still open despite the construction. It should be finished up shortly. So definitely call, come in. If you want to visit us at, local upcoming events, ribbon cuttings. We have ribbon cutting for Walmart on Friday. So a lot of things going on in the community, but obviously Lunch by the River and Downtown Grand Affair, and then the business expos. So to support local entrepreneurs, local businesses, anything out there, please give us a call, stop in. Send us an email if you go on our website. It's newer, it's a little bit easier and more user friendly, and you can click on pretty much anything that you would like to, and then it will take you right to our email and you can go right from there.
It really is a fantastic website. Looks really good. Really easy to navigate. Even I can figure it out. Come on. It's so easy. Check it out, everybody. WisconsinRapidsChamber.com. Be sure to follow the Chamber on social media as well. It's a great way to keep up to date and all the things going on in your community. Lacey, always good to talk with you. Thanks so much for the time.
Thank you, James.
Promise, you killed it. You did an amazing job. Nice work.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up for you right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
It all starts with a question more than 75 years ago. Can hauling a fishing pole to the water hole be made easier? Bob and Bill Johnson find an answer, and the very first multi-section bamboo fishing pole is created. It's 1948. The brothers' invention also leads to the launch of St. Croix Rod Company in Park Falls, and it becomes the talk of the state. So do you know which fish is considered the prize catch in Wisconsin? Is it northern pike, bluegill, or walleye? The answer coming up. The St. Croix Rod Company continues to call Park Falls home, but now operates what is considered the most advanced facility in the country. The company offers more than 800 award-winning rods and reels, still being created as the answer to every angler's fishing question. So which fish is the prized catch? Walleye.
Yeah!
It's challenging to catch, delicious to eat. And this is not the one that got away, but is one true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to Locally Grown Radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on Air.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers and the Department of Natural Resources introduced an update for Wisconsin's clean water standards this month that brings Wisconsin in line with federal rules. Republicans and the governor continue to disagree over who should be responsible for PFAS cleanup. Harmful algae blooms are getting more common. That's according to the Environmental Protection Agency. John Rumpler of Environment America says large factory farms are one of the main reasons.
That volume of manure, whether it's spread on crops or otherwise managed, it just all too often winds its way from the croplands to rivers and lakes and streams.
The EPA is considering updating regulations on waste from slaughterhouses for the first time in 40 years. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Coffee with the Chamber happens tomorrow from 8:30 to 9:30 a.m. in the Chamber Boardroom, or you can attend virtually. Mayor Matt Zacher and the Wisconsin Rapids Director of Community Development, Kyle Kearns, will be speaking during the event. You'll hear an economic development update on the general community, paper mill, foundry site, downtown master plan, and more. You can register at wisconsinrapidschamber.com. It feels like summer is still in full swing today, but our United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties is already getting ready for their Fall Day of Caring. Their annual leaf raking event will be held on Saturday, October 26th this year. If you are elderly or disabled and need help raking your yard, you can call 211 to get on the list. If you'd like to volunteer for this event, keep an eye on the United Way website or social media for registration information coming soon. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabo. This summer has been all drama at the box office, at least when it comes to returns. After a slow start back in May, things really picked up when Bad Boys Ride or Die hit the big screen, and things escalated from there with Inside Out 2 becoming the highest grossing animated film ever, and Deadpool and Wolverine becoming the highest grossing R-rated movie ever. A huge summer for Disney Studios, especially since Deadpool and Wolverine is not dead. After finishing in second place last week, thanks to the release of Alien Romulus after 2 weeks at the top, Deadpool and Wolverine regained the number one spot at the box office this past weekend after pulling in $18 million. Alien Romulus came in second place with just over $16 million. It Ends With Us, the surprise Blake Lively Channing Tatum hit, came in third place with $12 million. Tatum had two films in the top five this week as Blink Twice came in fourth place with just over $7 million. Faith-based film The Forge finished out the top five with just over $6 million. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabo, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A slight shower chance this evening, otherwise mostly cloudy and a low in the mid-60s. Patchy early fog, otherwise a mixture of sun and clouds and highs in the mid-70s for Wednesday. Another chance of showers and storms Thursday, high low 80s. It's 82 right now.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. How we think about money can affect how we feel about ourselves, which is why I think it's worth reminding all of us that your net worth is not your self-worth. Your net worth, however much money you do or don't have, is not your self-worth. Money is not something to be worshipped, regardless of what the internet or social media tells us. And money is not something to be ignored. I mean, I've been there. I've not paid attention to my money. And let me tell you, that doesn't help either. Money is a tool. You can learn how to use it, how to make it work for you, how to take care of it, and how not to let it control your head or your heart through obsession or worry. We can all be good at managing our money. If I can do it, anyone can do it. For more everyday money tips, check out Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Maggie Dawn.
Did you know that dark money groups are spending millions to hire paid canvassers in Wisconsin on behalf of Donald Trump? I'll tell you all about it next.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Tuesday, August 27th, 2024. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. And welcoming into the studio our good friends from the Wisconsin Rapids Family Center. We have Neha with us. It is good to see you again.
Nice to see you.
Thanks for being here. Appreciate the time. And always want to remind the audience of my, with journalistic integrity, that I am a board member of the Family Center. And I believe the Family Center here in our community does maybe the most vital work that there is in our community. And I really appreciate you and the team over there, Nia. Thank you so much for all that work and all that you do. And one of the things that we've touched on before is the idea of the Family Center reaching other avenues, gray areas, different places that maybe our community hasn't always been able to. And you've been a big asset with that when it comes to the Hmong programs and the outreach that is going on. Can we start right there and kind of talk about that a little bit?
Yes. So our Hmong program, we serve anyone in the Hmong community that is dealing with any kind of domestic violence or sexual assault.
And this is a... this is a topic that affects all creeds, all races, religions, everybody. Nobody is left, you know, away from this one. But every creed, every culture, every religion handles things differently, no matter what we're talking about in life. And certainly Hmong culture is no different than that. There is a lot that we've talked about with this subject where... The older generations haven't always been as open with this topic and forthcoming with these things, whether it is a victim or it is an abuser. This is something that, coming from a Jewish community, I can relate to quite a bit. And even the Italian side of my family, I relate to quite a bit. I think that actually when we pull from almost any creed, there's a similarity here with this when we're talking about the way things used to be and the way things are going forward. How has it been for you outreaching to the community in general?
It's been a lot, I think, I would say easier with, especially with my generation, you know, 30, 40 year olds, kind of, but like the younger generation is more open versus the older generation. It's still very taboo to even talk about. So just having us putting our feet in the, you know, community, it has helped broaden their awareness.
It really does speak to why us talking about these things with our normal speaking voice and not in a hushed voice or anything has really changed things when it comes to this subject matter. It's very different than we were yet when we were young, where we are now with this subject. And that's wonderful to see for our society. It means positive things going forward. It also means there is still work to be done. It is two things at once, where I find a lot of hope from it while at the same time being reminded that this is a subject we need to keep our foot on the gas with. We can't, you know, take our foot off the gas on this one. We got to keep going forward and keep going strong with this subject. But I'm oftentimes, I look at this from, I mentioned before, my creeds in my area, not just here in Wisconsin, but where I come from in Chicago. I think about the subject matter on that level. I don't know if I or others think enough about how this affects other cultures and other cultures, whether they're immigrating to this country or adapting to this country or however it might be, that transition. That can be quite difficult. And then you put on top of that a language barrier, and that can make things even more difficult oftentimes, especially where my heart goes immediately to victims, to people who are abused. Is this something that I'm just kind of like as an outsider seeing or making an assumption, or is this kind of a sort of the case for this subject matter for you, Nia, and what you've experienced?
Oh, no, that's very accurate. A lot of the ladies that do come in are of the older generation, and they are always like, we don't know how to speak English, we don't know where to look for resources, you know. They hear even like us broadcasting it on air or in the newspaper or events, they don't really get that message. They usually get the message by word of mouth.
Which I'm so glad you brought up, because it speaks to so much of the importance of sharing these things and how we treat each other. Maybe you and somebody else are not even talking about the Family Center, but domestic violence comes up and you're speaking about this and speaking against it and talking highly against it or something like that. Well, a victim might be overhearing you. and might feel more encouraged to come forward than if they hear somebody talking the opposite about this subject. It's not just kids we need to think of this with, but all kinds of people in all different walks of life that may be benefited just from overhearing a conversation or you talking with this person, and you don't even know that they are going through these things. And because you were so open to the topic and so on the right side of history in my book on this topic, they feel more willing to go forward. Whether it's word of mouth or it's how we talk to each other, it becomes more and more important as we go forward how we handle this subject and how we treat each other on this subject.
Correct, yes. I noticed that our younger generation is more open to speaking about domestic violence that they see at home or hear about and speaking up against it versus our older generation, which puts a more of a hush-hush on it. But I think with the younger generation kind of stepping up and putting their input in about the situation, it's kind of changing the our older generation's minds about how things should be.
Mm-hmm. I always feel like I'm putting our guests in an awkward position and asking you to answer for like a whole creed of people or things like that sometimes. I know what that's like sometimes myself on my end of things. But I am curious, from your experiences, have you seen the younger generation helping the older generation or working with the older generation in any way? Maybe not even in a gigantic way, just kind of like being an ally in these things.
Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm. Just from my personal experience, mm-hmm. growing up, you know, I'm first generation here in the U.S. So, you know, growing up, being around the elders, you know, I would just hear them, you know, once it comes up, that topic of, like, domestic violence comes up, they tell us to hush about it. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, put it in the back burner, don't talk about it, we'll figure out things out. But as I've grown up, I'm very vocal about it. I'm very vocal about it. I've seen even like younger generations now, mm-hmm. When they see it, they speak up, you know, they speak up to it. And I do see that transition of the older generation kind of like, okay, you know, mm-hmm. you see a difference. Well, we got to change too. So it's improved drastically.
It's really good to hear. It's really, really good to hear. Neha, can you tell us a little bit about the Hmong program?
Yes. So our Hmong program, we do have groups that we go to. So we have the youth groups at Rams and also at Lincoln. So we meet with the teens and we just talk about topics and, you know, coping skills and, you know, we have fun. Yeah, and then we also have an elderly group in the evenings that, you know, we bring up the topics, the sensitive topics. And again, we eat, it's like a potluck where, you know, they come and it's more healing for them.
That got me. That's really good to hear.
It's a safe space for them to just come in and, you know, talk about what they've gone through or, you know, not even directly to them, but, you know, what they hear about in the community. And so it's a great place for them to be and just be safe and to voice their concerns and their issues or their problems that they're going through.
I've spent my life fighting for this subject and fighting against domestic violence. It's something that's important to my family. It's something I was raised on. And it's a subject that I'm very familiar with for various reasons. But one of the things that I didn't know until I started working more hand-in-hand with the Family Center, and I emceed Men in the Kitchen a couple of years back and everything, and I've talked about this event many times because it just stands out in my head so much about this community. And I thought that I was, this was a subject and this was something that, well, I don't know how many people got our back on this one. I don't know how many people are behind this one. And I look around and I walk into that room and I see not just the leaders of our mayor at the time and the head of the rafters at the time and so many, our head of the police department, our Sheriff Sean Becker down there, but I see men. There. I see men representing this cause. I see men standing by this cause and meaning something behind that. But one of the things that also stood out to me about this that I think our Wisconsin Rapids Family Center does better than almost anybody is the idea of, hey, here is this heavy subject, but that's not the only thing we're here to talk about today. How are you? Are you hungry? We got some food over here. Like we're there's other things going on. I think it loosens people up more. It gets people to be freer with their conversation. Maybe even more likely to share information or share something they have been through than if it was just, we're just talking about this. We're just meeting to be here about this. I think it's such a... it's such a smart idea to be able to do it that way. And it's great to hear that the Hmong programs that are available that are very similar to that.
Yes. So we do have also, we do also do outreach. Mm-hmm. So we have our emergency food pantry. And our clients would come in like once a month to get their pantry. And most of the time they come in and we chit chat, you know, we get an update on how they're doing, not just come in and grab the food and leave, but we'll take the time to like sit with them and talk with them, chit chat with them. So it gives them an opportunity, or it gives us an opportunity to engage with them a little bit more and just check in on them. And I think that's very, again, healing for them.
Mm-hmm. And so much of this is about that word healing. And it's, it just hits my heart every time you say that. It really does meaning something, and it really does impact things. And I think, again, there's the idea of this, too, being an opportunity. Say a person doesn't necessarily share or really, you know, come into the event doing something like that. That's okay, too. This is a moment for them to have some peace or some healing, as you mentioned there. Sometimes that's the way we all heal differently. And we all need different ways to be able to do that. This gives you more of an avenue and more of a kind of, hey, come one, come all, we're here for you sort of atmosphere. And that goes a long way. The outreach you mentioned, is there other forms of outreach or other programs that you do with the Hmong culture and about this subject?
So we're, you know, Kabao and I are there during business hours. So, you know, we have our clients come in too, or we'll like do, you know, whenever HAC has events, we partner together. Mm-hmm. So whenever they have events, you know, we crisscross with each other and we let each other know, like to reach out to our clients or to reach out to their clients. To get the message out to the broader Hmong population.
You know, with this subject, Nia, this is something that it comes down to so much to communication and sharing with each other and trusting each other, no matter what the scenario is, victim to advocate, advocate to advocate, victim to victim, any of the scenarios, it all comes down to communication and trusting each other and having a belief that what you're sharing or what you're hearing is going to be, we're going to do something with this. We're going to help. We're going to be there for you. We're going to, at the very least, we are here to listen and we're here to have your back. Those things. But again, I come back to the communication factor with this, and not just for Hmong individuals, but Spanish individuals and others. That where I grew up, this oftentimes was the issue, where a person couldn't speak English, and so they didn't know how to talk to a police officer and explain to them that the person they were living with was abusing them or something. There just wasn't enough programs like this back in the day. To have this as something in this day in 2024 is wonderful, is great, but it's also, I imagine, it's got to be very, I don't want to say taxing, that can be a very loaded word, but I imagine this isn't, this takes a lot of work on you and your team's end.
Oh, it does. You know, just the simple translations. The Hmong language is very, I would say, limited into how we can translate the words in English over to Hmong, you know. So sometimes the message, we would have to reword our message a couple times just to get that message through to them clearly, asking a lot of questions. Then they would ask us a lot of questions to clarify things.
Yeah, and it's great to get the behind the curtain of some of these things. I not only think it creates more empathy in our audience for this subject, but also some insight to it. I appreciate that very much. Thank you. We're speaking with Nia from the Wisconsin Rapids Family Center right now, talking about Hmong programs and outreach that she and others are involved in over there. And when it comes to that outreach, I'm curious, are you guys also looking into new avenues and new ways to be able to reach out to the culture and connect with more and more people?
We are. There are a couple programs that we are currently in the process of setting up and collaborating with right now. So look forward to that.
Yeah, I was going to say, I look forward to hearing about that too. That's going to be good news when we can. Is there any other programs or any other forms of outreach that we can touch on that we haven't already, Nia?
I think that's pretty much it for the Hmong program.
Yeah, I thought so. And nicely done by you, by the way. That was very fun. And Nia, as we're wrapping up, you thought it was a good idea, and I like the idea of we just wanted to shout out the Family Center website and remind people that that is a great resource, along with their Facebook page, for finding out information and reaching out to the Family Center.
Correct, yes. Our Amy does a great job keeping up with it. You know, if you ever want to donate, go definitely check out our website. We have the What We Need Wednesdays, mm-hmm. just for updated items that we might need at the center.
Mm-hmm. There is a lot of great resources. There is not just the services and programs and events and ways to reach out to the Family Center, but there is also a great section of what is abuse. And I think that as we go farther and farther into the subject as a society, it's more and more important for people to understand that what you have in your head as the definition of abuse might be different than what abuse is. A lot of people tend to, I speak to this as somebody who went through it. You normalize abuse sometimes. You get so used to it that, well, that's not abuse, but it is. And it's a great resource to be able to kind of figure that part out, along with finding out some of the great different ways that the Family Center is not only reaching out to the community, but doing good in the community. They, on their Facebook page alone, their first post that I'm seeing here from they've got tips on financial awareness with domestic violence. That is a great resource right there, even. And there's all kinds of other great pictures and different things on their Facebook page. Encourage you to like that page. It's also a great way to have in your timeline a moment of positive popping up on your timeline and everything on your Facebook page. And of course, the Family Center, as Nia mentioned, there are needs over there. And while not everybody can be an advocate, while not everybody can maybe be a board member, every single member in the community can be a part of things at the Family Center and add to the good that they are doing over there by these simple items that they could use. You can find out more about those by going to their website, by looking at their Facebook page. As Nia mentioned, Wednesdays is a good day to look out for those things. And it could be as simple as you're going to the store picking up toilet paper and you grab an extra set of rolls. Like something as simple as that can mean so much to the Family Center and take a little bit off of their plate so that the team over there can do the vital work that they are doing. I've talked about this for many years. Not everybody has dollars and cents to donate. Those that can, we greatly appreciate it. Just a reminder that not only our domestic violence shelter, but domestic violence shelters around the country have just been had cuts to their financing. Now more than ever, it is important for us to be adding to our Family Center and helping out any way we can. So dollars and cents are greatly appreciated. But again, not everybody has that. So maybe you have an hour or two to kill. Maybe you have time on your lunch break or something. There are little things around the building that could always use help with. There is lawn care and different stuff like that. There are ways to impact your community and help out the Family Center that aren't always the typical ways or the ways that we might think of immediately. But again, dollars and cents or your time, all of this is greatly appreciated from the Family Center. And as we like to always remind you, the Family Center is there for you. They have your back. The crisis line is available 24/7. And that phone number is 715-421-1511. That's 715-421-1511. Anytime, day or night, an advocate will assist you. Keep in mind that they also have, again, this great website. It's familyctr.org, familyctr.org. And do yourself a favor, go to your Facebook page, type into your search bar, Wisconsin Rapids Family Center, and subscribe and like their page. It's a great way to keep up to date on everything they are doing over there. And Nia, if people want to reach out to you specifically and find out more information about some of what we talked about, should we just send them to the website? Is that the best way for them to get in touch with you?
Yes, definitely. Okay. Send them to the webpage or just call the crisis line.
Yeah, thank you for that. Again, that website, familyctr.org, familyctr.org. Help our good friends at the Family Center to continue to do the vital, great work that they are doing in this community. Nia, great conversation today. Thank you so much for hanging out with us.
Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Look forward to talking again real soon.
Thank you.
And again, that website, familyctr.org, and be sure to follow the Family Center on social media and that crisis line where they are available for you any day, time, or of the day. day or night, 715-421-1511. That's 715-421-1511. We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up for you here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Tome for the Todd Allball Show.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Esther Flonase is our guest, and also Dr. Laura Hanks with another edition of Public Service Announcement. Send your questions to janesays@civicmedia.us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. The Todd Allbus Show.
Co-founder of the Lincoln Project, Rick Wilson.
Trump is now pre-gaming for Republican elections boards at the county and state levels across this country to try to put their thumb on the scale for Trump. And if they don't win on that front, they may resort to violence again, which is why at the Lincoln Project, our goal is not to beat Trump. Our goal is to beat Trump like a rented mule. Our goal is to beat Trump so bad that his bruises have bruises.
The Todd Allbus Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump says he's agreed to debate terms with Democratic presidential nominee Kamala Harris. In a post on his Truth Social site, he said the rules will be the same as for the debate in June between him and President Biden. It's been hot and humid in the Midwest for days, and it's going to be that way in the Southeast and Mid-Atlantic tomorrow, says the Weather Channel meteorologist Jen Carfagno.
Look at 95 in Cleveland, 97 in Charleston tomorrow. These are the temperatures, not just the heat index, which will be even higher. Nashville heading to 100. St. Louis, we're heading to 100.
The Israeli military says it has rescued a 52-year-old hostage who had been held by Hamas in southern Gaza. Reporter Linda Gratstein from Tel Aviv.
The Hamas members guarding him temporarily stepped away, maybe came up to the surface to get some air because it's really not possible to stay in the tunnels for that long. And Israeli special forces came in and took him out.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers and the Department of Natural Resources introduced an update for Wisconsin's clean water standards this month that brings Wisconsin in line with federal rules. Republicans and the governor continue to disagree over who should be responsible for PFAS cleanup. Harmful algae blooms are getting more common. That's according to the Environmental Protection Agency. John Rumpler of Environment America says large factory farms are one of the main reasons.
That volume of manure, whether it's spread on crops or otherwise managed, it just all too often winds its way from the croplands to rivers and lakes and streams.
The EPA is considering updating regulations on waste from slaughterhouses for the first time in 40 years. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Alyssa Kay. Following our upcoming meetings in the listening area for Wednesday, August 28th. In Wood County, the public meeting for the Wisconsin Rapids Police and Fire Commission will take place at 7:30 a.m. The Wisconsin Rapids Housing Authority will hold its regular monthly meeting at 1:30. the Village of Port Edwards will have their Public Works Committee meeting at 10 a.m. The Public Safety meeting will begin at noon, and the Planning, Property, and Legislative Committee will meet at 5:30. The Town of Grand Rapids will hold a special town board meeting from 6 to 7. In Portage County, the Public Safety Emergency Management Committee will meet at 8 a.m., and the Housing Authority Board of Commissioners will meet at 4. There was a fire in an industrial cold storage facility on 21st Avenue last night in Wisconsin Rapids. The fire department found the fire was extinguished by the activation of 4 sprinkler heads. No one was injured, and the fire is believed to have been an accident. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
The Badgers ready for a new season. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. College football, the Badgers host Western Michigan on Friday night. Wisconsin finished with a disappointing 7-6 record last season. Head coach Luke Fickle.
And if I would say anything about last year, that's where I think after week 1 and 2, I did recognize one of our shortcomings was our ability to problem solve. As things changed within a game, as things changed from the start of a game, because, I felt like last year we were really good with the things we prepared for. But we were not nearly as good with the things that we hadn't prepared for and to be able to problem solve. And I think we'll get a great look at that in week 1.
NFL, the Packers have a new backup quarterback. They traded a 7th-round pick to the Titans for Malik Willis, who now has to learn a new playbook by next week.
Without preparation, you never feel comfortable. You never feel like you're able to go do your best. I just want to take every day like this my last and just learn as much as I can, retain that information, and go out there and try to do it the next day.
That's the Packers' new backup quarterback, Malik Willis, with sports on Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A slight shower chance this evening, otherwise mostly cloudy and a low in the mid-60s. Patchy early fog, otherwise a mixture of sun and clouds and highs in the mid-70s for Wednesday. Another chance of showers and storms Thursday, high low 80s. It's 82 right now.